Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to be with you this morning. And I personally, whenever I speak, I basically try to speak my heart. And I may prepare a few things, but then I just pray that the Lord will speak, because I believe that any messages comes out of heart touches hearts. And when the message does not come out of the heart, it doesn't do anything. And I was practicing. My father was a farmer, and we had lots of goats and sheep at our home when I was a little child, and I used to hear the sheep and the goats' voice a lot. But then I forgot how the sheep and the goat. So I thought I'll test your guys without showing you the picture, whether you will know this voice is a sheep or a goat. So let's see who will know. I'm just trying to make it fun this morning for you before I start the message. So how many have heard the goat and the goats or the sheep sound like recently? How many have heard it? None of you? Come on. Okay, so then you guys are in the same test that I am. If I wouldn't look at it, I wouldn't know. But let's see if you guys are better than me. So I'm going to put something on from the YouTube, but I'm not going to put it here because otherwise you will see it. But then you will tell me whether it's a sheep or it's a goat. Let's see who will know. All right? Was this a goat or a sheep? Sheep. Sheep or a goat? How many? Okay. How many says it's a sheep? All right, you guys are good. So I don't need to test you, then you know it. You know, for me, they both look the same. So I thought maybe, but, you know, some people know it. So I said whether it's ma or ba or whatever, I didn't know. But you guys know better than I do, I guess. These verses that I read, or we read, or my sister read for us, are one of the verses that touched me when I came to know the Lord. I come from a Muslim background, and for me to know that Jesus is God and Jesus is the Lord that holds eternal life in his hand, it was very important for me to know that. It was very important for me to see that Jesus himself is speaking of his authority as King and Master and Lord. Many times people say, others talked about Jesus that, but he himself did not declare. But these verses, the Gospel of Matthew generally is telling us about the King Jesus. So any king has to have what? Kingdom, right? Is there a king without kingdom? There is no king without kingdom. So Jesus here is declaring, and these verses is talking about the King Jesus. And the King Jesus, which has a kingdom, and he has people in his kingdom to rule, correct? Who are these people that he's ruling in his kingdom? It's his people, it's the church. And the first thing we want to ask ourselves this morning, you ask yourself, and I will ask myself, every one of us, we need to always come and examine that. Am I part of his kingdom? Are you part of this kingdom? Are you in his kingdom? Many people asked Jesus, just show us the kingdom of God. How do we inherit the kingdom of God? What is? Can we? How do we get the kingdom of God? And you know what Jesus' answer for them was? The kingdom of God is in you. If you encounter Christ and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, his kingdom is in you. You are part of his kingdom. And his kingdom is living within you. So you live the kingdom of God. I'm just going to pray another quick prayer before we just move on. I know I have a limited time, and usually when I speak, I take my time, but I'll pray a quick prayer, and then we will get into more of what God wants to teach us this morning. Father God, as the King of heaven and earth, we declare that you will speak your word to every single person in this place. God, we know when you speak, the blind eyes will be opened and the ears will be opened to hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray that you take your place, sit as you sit on the throne. Our hearts will be the throne that you will take the place in to be the king of my life and on the life of everyone in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I like you to interact with me. When I say amen with me. So otherwise, I will be bored here. So I want you to be with me. I'm a passionate person for Jesus. And I love the Lord, and I serve the Lord from all my heart because he changed me. One day, before I know him, I was the king of my life. I was sitting on the throne of my heart. I was the king of my life. I wouldn't let anyone else to be the king there except me. But when I asked him to come in, I stepped out. He's like a chair inside my heart. Just visualize it like that. I'm sitting on it, not giving it to anyone else. But when I allowed him in, I went off of that throne of my heart, and I said, Jesus, come and sit and be the king of my life. From now on, you rule this alley. This alley is not going to be ruled by alley, but is going to be ruled by Jesus. And this is what it means to have a king in your life. King that will rule your life. But you know what's the beauty of the king that rules? Our king. He has authority over all the dominion, over all the universe, over every single thing happens. He has the authority over it. And because he has that authority, when he is the king of your life, you will be able to experience his authority in your life every day you walk. Because he is a God of authority. And when you bring him in, he will allow you to experience that supernatural authority. That's why the people of God, the people that encounter supernatural. You know, not like Superman. Superman is all fake. He doesn't fly, by the way, all this fake thing. There is a supernatural experience that you will see when you walk with the king that rules over your life because he's a God of supernatural. That's why with Moses, just move your stuff, Moses, and the sea will become two parts. The earth will be shaken. His people pray, the prison gates opened. The things that are impossible in my eyes, in your eyes, he will make it possible in your life. That's why the people that walk in this kind of experience. See, the most miserable people are the Christians that are not enjoying the power that God and the authority that God has already prepared for them to walk in. And the blessings. My sister was loading us into the worship of count your blessings. And there are many, many, many blessings. By the way, there is so much that God has in store for each one of us, but sometimes we just don't experience it because we don't give Him a place. We don't give Him a room. So this morning, He wants you and me to experience that, to walk in it. Now, in these verses that we read, He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, this is Jesus speaking, the Son of Man comes in His glory. If anyone here has any doubt about the deity of Jesus Christ, I'm going to take you through a few scriptures to tell you when Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, where is He referring to, and how the Jews, the Jewish people and the Pharisees at His time were understanding this verse. If you go to Mark chapter 14, and you go in chapter 14, and we will read when Jesus was being taken to the high priest and to the Jewish elders and leaders before His crucifixion, when He was accused of basically leading the Jewish people away from the law of Moses and things like that. So the high priest here, in verse 61, I believe, yes, or the second part of verse 61, he says, again the high priest asked him, asked Jesus, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? The high priest, the Jewish high priest, who knows the Bible, the Old Testament very well, he knows the law very well, he's asking Jesus one question. Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Let's see what Jesus answers. Jesus says, I am, said Jesus, and you will see, listen to this, you will see the Son of Man, same word that's used in Matthew 25, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty. Here, the right hand of the Mighty, it means staking all the authority. The right hand of the Mighty One, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Do you know what the high priest did when he heard this? He tore his clothes in verse 63. Why, he says, do we need any more witnesses? We do not need any more witnesses. He said, he asked, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? In other words, he made himself equal to God. You have heard the blasphemy. Here, Jesus is saying, I am the one that you read about it, you high priest and you the Jews, in Daniel chapter 7. If you go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, I am the one that you read about it in the Old Testament when he says, in my vision, Daniel says, at night I looked and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And then what it says, he approached the Ancient of Days. and was led into his presence. It was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations, Arabs, Chinese, Westerns, Africans, Europeans, all nations and people of every language worshipped him. Worshipped who? The Son of Man. Worshipped Jesus. And he says, his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is a king, is one that will never be destroyed. If you have any doubt about Jesus being God Almighty, these are the verses that from Old Testament and from his own mouth, Jesus proclaiming that he is the one that has power over all dominions and his kingdom never ends, and all nations worship him. See, I'm going to talk a little bit in the last 10, 12 minutes that I have about Jesus here is talking about his second coming in Matthew chapter 25 that we were reading. He's talking about his second coming. And it's very, very important before he is coming back to take us that he will refine the church. You know what? We are living in the age and we are living in societies. Sometimes a Christian and non-Christian are so alike that you wouldn't know whether this person is a Christian or is not a Christian. It's all gray area. It's all gray area. You know what, when I say gray, what it means? It's not white or black. You're either Christian following him or you're not a Christian. There is no middle way. At that day when he's sitting on his throne, he will make sure you're either on his right hand or on his left hand. If I don't see it well in you, he sees it very well. If the pastors of this church don't see it, he sees it very well. He knows how to distinguish between the goats and the sheep, or between the sheep and the goats. It's very clear for him. See, during the time of Elijah, there was a lot of false gods being worshipped, Baal, and a lot of false gods being worshipped by the people of God. To the point that the same character, they were talking the same way they are talking about the Almighty God, Yahweh, they were talking about their other idols. And people were confused. There were lots of false prophets. People were confused. And Elijah took all these false prophets into a place and said, okay, now we need today, if Baal is God, then you go and worship God. If Yahweh is God, then worship Yahweh. And then they did the altar, and Elijah did all the altar, and the fire came and accepted the sacrifices of Elijah. Means Elijah and God wanted to tell people, you are confused. You think that you're worshiping me, but you're actually not worshiping me. And why I'm saying this to you all here, I'm saying this to you because we are in time that we need to really declare our faith, live our faith, walk with our faith, not be ashamed of our faith, and encounter the power that God has given us because of our belief in him. Now, the last thing I want to do today, or the last few things I want to do, is I want to talk a little bit about Jesus the shepherd. We are his sheep, and I want to talk a little bit about the characters of the goat and the sheep. By the way, you can probably find this in any other literature, but I'm going to interpret it the way that I feel that God wants to speak to us. See, here we will examine ourselves. Each one of us will examine ourselves with these characteristics of a goat and a sheep. One of the things about the goats, if you are a shepherd and you have goats and sheep in your flock, the goats will always make trouble for you. They are troublemakers. So, what it means they are troublemakers. They are the ones that will always make things that are opposite of what the shepherd wants them to do. They're troublemakers. They are not restful. They will be running around and you can't even get them. They're troublemakers. So one of the things that the Lord wants to talk to us this morning is that, you know what? Be in harmony with the Spirit of God. Don't resist the Spirit of God. Walk in harmony with God. Because when you resist the Spirit of God, you're quenching the Spirit of God. And you're not letting the Spirit of God to work in your life. Now, the second thing about the goats are very independent. In other words, I can do everything by myself. I do not need God. I'm smart enough to run my life. What is this God thing that I need in my life? I can do it. This is how people fail. See, the goats are very known are to be very independent. They think that they are everything and they can do everything. You know, nowadays you say iPad, iPhone, I whatever, and the word I is becoming a lot familiar now. So I, it's all about I. And what God wants us to do is, it's all about you. It's not about I, it's about you. That's another thing we need to learn today. They think they are capable to protect themselves. And the other thing about the goats are they are very selfish. They're very selfish. You know, it's written about the goats that if you bring the food for the goats, supposed to be for the goats and their babies, they will eat all the food and they will not leave anything for their babies. Selfish means that I am self-centered. It's very, very important for the Holy Spirit to work in our life to make us to be selfless. The selfless person is able to give and to give wholeheartedly. And the selfish person, even if when they give it not with their own heart and they give it with a lot of complaint and they give and they expect something in return. So they don't give in a right heart. So as Christians, we need to be selfless, not selfish. And the other thing is written about the goats that they have large appetites. Like they love food, they eat a lot. And you know what happens? They eat everything. They eat everything. And not thinking what they eat. You know, there is, again, we're coming back to Daniel. Daniel, when he was working in the palace of the king, they asked Daniel and others, young men with Daniel, why don't you eat what is offered to you? And he refused to eat from what the unholy food or unacceptable food that were being given to them by the king or the palace of the king. And they said, you know, dirty food will not get into my body. It's not acceptable for me. Well, here we're not talking about the actual food because whatever gets into our stomach is not what makes us unclean, but whatever comes out of our heart, what makes us unclean. But here what I'm talking about is that do not let the lust of the world, the dirty things of the world, the unholy things of the world to get inside you. Don't get everything in. Protect your eyes from the lust of the world. Protect your life from the things that others do that's not acceptable for you to do. Be Be sanctified and walk in holiness because your God is holy. The other thing about the goats are they're disobedient. They're very disobedient. You know, this spirit of disobedience is the source of the sin, because it's the hardened heart that God cannot work with. That's why what we need to ask, like Ezekiel chapter 36, say, God, take the stony heart out of me. Take the heart of stone out of me and put a flesh heart in me and write your laws, the new laws, inside my heart so that my heart will be able to accept your laws and to walk with you. May the Lord give us the spirit of obedience. Now, when we come to the sheep, it's written that the sheep, when it falls on its back, it's hard for the sheep to come up again. They really need help for guidance, and they need help to really stand up again. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, I believe, it says, when Jesus came ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt deep concern, or he felt compassion for them. They were like sheep without shepherd. Always sheep feels secure when there is shepherd there. That's why Jesus says, my sheep knows my voice. They will hear my voice, and they will not hear the voice of the stranger. When they hear the voice of the stranger, they will distinguish between my voice and the voice of the stranger. So the sheep, the actual, we need to practice our spiritual inner ears and eyes to be able to follow the good shepherd and to hear his voice and to stay in his pasture. So that we don't go astray. The other thing about the sheep, they don't, if they get dirty, they get into the mud, they quickly will get out of it, not like the pigs. They will quickly get out of it and they want to be clean again. You know what that means? God is telling you, it's okay to fall. It's okay. A lot of people have fallen before you, but it's not okay to stay in your mud. It's not okay to stay in your sin. It's not okay to stay in whatever the enemy has taken you to. You need to stand up and say, God, clean me again. The blood of Jesus and the work of the cross of Calvary is able to give you second, third, fourth chance, an opportunity. And today is another opportunity for you and me to come back to his heart. Say, forgive me, God, if I have done anything wrong. Today, teach me to come back in humble heart and repent. Tell you, clean me again by the power of your blood. I need you again. I need you again. You know, I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to go 2-3 minutes out of my time. Is that okay? Yeah, just 2-3 more minutes. I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 36. 31, I believe, not 36. And I'm going to read a few verses for you to see the heart of the good shepherd. Chapter 34, I'm sorry. The heart of a good shepherd. See, here Jesus in chapter 34, Ezekiel chapter 34, Jesus is, or the Lord, Yahweh, is talking about his being angry with the shepherds that are shepherding the people of Israel. He's telling them, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? There are some shepherds who are unable to take care of their flocks. You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You are not strengthened, you have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, and on every high hill they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or helped or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherd, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore you shepherd, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherd and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove, I'm not going to read all this. Then, as for you, my flock, I'm going to read from verse 17. This is what I wanted to really focus, verse 17. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture. Must you also trample the rest of your pasture? With your feet, it is not enough for you to drink clear waters. Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will be judged between the fat sheep and the lean sheep because you shove with flank and shoulder. What I'm trying to say here is, I'm not going to read all the chapter here, is that the Lord says, if there is no one to shepherd anyone, I will remain to be the good shepherd. If you're sick, I will take care of you. If you go astray, I am coming after you. I will forget about the 99. I will run about after the other, the only one that is not in the flock. If you need me to hold you, I will hold you on my shoulder. If you need a special care, I will care for you. If you are going astray, if you are also taking care of yourself, you're too fat and you want to be too fat, no. I am not going to make one of you too fat, the other one too weak. I am going to balance between all my sheep. I will take care of all of them equally. In other words, he is the good shepherd that will not distinguish between one and the other. He cares for all of us equally. If you're weak, he's there for you. If you're sick, he's there for you. If you're unable to walk, he will put you on his shoulder and he will take care of you. He will not forsake you and he will never let go of you. He is the good shepherd. May the Lord bless this word, that we will go back to our good shepherd and say, we need you to be the shepherd of my life, and I want to be a sheep of your pasture. We bless your holy name, Father God, in the